We are the temples of the Holy Ghost. You dwell, live, and abide inside each and every one of us, and in accordance with the Word of God as your children. Greater is He that's in us than he that's in this world. We know the enemies are doing all he can to bring destruction, to bring despair, even those that are under the sound of my voice. I know, because you've already told me so. Many today, even in this room, are in despair because of circumstances, situations, and yes, some even because of the decisions that they made. But it's not over. It's not over. If they'll put their faith in trust in you and listen to what the Spirit of God says today in and through the Word of God, they've just begun as well the race they've been called to run. Their best days will be yet ahead of them, not behind them, yet ahead of them, Father. We thank you right now, Father, for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for your word. I thank you as the pastor of this particular local church this morning, Father. I thank you as I open my mouth this morning. It will not be man's thoughts, plans, or ideas, because they'll help us none. It'll be what thus saith the Holy Spirit. It'll be the oracles of God, divine inspiration and utterance in, through, and by the Holy Spirit. It'll not just be any word that is ministered, even from your word, even from the Bible, but divinely appointed and anointed for this hour, for this group of people. For as I stand here, I could open my eyes and see the people in this place and may would know many of them. But you know them all. The Bible says you know every hair on their head. You've set your love upon them and nothing can separate them from the love of God. So, Father, as I yield to you this morning, I thank you. I thank you the word will be ministered to them. They're going to come. They're already here, but they're expecting to receive by faith. And we thank you, Father, as they set their faith. We set ours together, our faith. And trust is in you and you alone. They're going to receive with meekness this word. It's able to change and alter the course of their lives forever. We thank you, Father, as well for the Holy Spirit as we move into the message. That you're going to lead, guide, and direct. And, Father, even after the message, you're going to confirm the word with the anointing, power, and giftings of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you right now in the mighty name of Jesus for all that you've done. But Father, we thank you today. We're being trained. We're being equipped, impartations and deposits by the Spirit of God in and through the Word this morning to equip us to better run the race that you've called us to run. Our faith and trust is in you. We thank you. We count these things done now by faith in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated and Sunday school can be dismissed at this time. If you have your Bible and you're in here with me, go to Jeremiah 32, verse 27. God is with us. We're so grateful for all that he's been doing, the way he's been moving. But there's a purpose this morning. There are things that need to be said. This is going to be different, but it's still God. Amen. We've been preaching up a storm. That's awesome. We've been flowing with the Holy Spirit. That's awesome. We're still flowing with the Holy Spirit, but there's a message that he wants to give his people today. Amen. And we'll say some things, and it's by the Spirit of God to help you. Jeremiah 32, verse 27. If you have your Bible, you need to look at it. If not, we're going to put it up here on the screen. Jeremiah 32, verse 27. God said, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" God said, how do you know God said it? It's in the Bible. I didn't say it, right? I'm reading it. But this is the Word of God. God said, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse. Let me get there. 27, and there's a story in all of these, but there's a purpose. Mark chapter 10, verse 27. Jesus looking upon them saith, "With men, it is impossible." There may be some things you're facing today. It may be impossible with everything you're looking at. All the circumstances, all the situations, any way you think you could bring about change or bring about good in your life is greater than you. You see no way. Things can change. Things can be different. But God said, this is in red in my Bible, Mark 10, 27 says, he said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible." He said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. And you're on top of it. So back up one to Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Again, Jesus speaking. This is when he delivered this young boy that had this demon spirit and been spirit of suicide, many other things. But he said in verse 23, Jesus said unto him, will you take God's word this morning? Will you take the Lord Jesus Christ's word this morning? Jesus said unto him, you know, Dr. Hagin said one time, he said, we read the word of God and we get excited in a measure, and we should. We know his truth, so we should get excited and receive it as such. He said, but you need to receive the word this way. He said, you're sitting in your house and you're sitting there on the couch watching TV or whatever, and you get a knock at the door. You go to the door and open the door, and the Lord Jesus Christ is standing there looking at you. And he speaks the word to you. That's how you need to receive it, as the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's what it is. And this morning, that's what he's saying. He said in Mark 9:23, if you can believe, all things are possible to him to believe. All things. How much does that leave out? You say, but you don't know my situation. But God does, and Jesus does, and he still said, all things are possible to him to believe. Many times we think like natural man does, and he looks at it, but you just don't know what I'm going through, what I've been, and you might even would say, well, you don't know the decisions I made to get here. You might have made decisions to get to where you are, but if you'll trust God, he'll lead you to make God decisions to get out of where you've been. He did not create you to be a failure. He created you to have dominion, the Bible says in Genesis 1:26. He created you to go over, not under, be the head, not the tail, above and not beneath. And I'm not just here this morning to give you a positive message, to encourage you, yes, in the Lord, but I'm here to give you the word of God that will work this morning in this church. It will work when you leave. It'll work at the house. It'll work wherever you are in your life. If you apply the word of God, it'll work for you. He said, I am the Lord God. Is there anything too hard for me? I'm here to tell you this morning by the Spirit of God, especially for somebody, you are wrong when you think you've come so far that you can't change. You've come so far that things can't be turned around. You say, how do you know that? Because I've got a message. But he told me, Jeremiah 32:27, on the front row here, he said, you tell them, especially somebody here, you think it's too hard. You think there's no way. That's a lie from the devil. You need to know who's talking to you. When you read it out of the word of God, God's talking to you. But anything that contradicts the word is of the devil, and he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And see, he's got to have your cooperation. That's why he's after your thought life. He's got to have your cooperation. If he could just kill you and take you out, you wouldn't be here this morning, and neither would I. He can't do what he wants to. He's got to get you to side in with him, and he gets you to side in with him by bringing up every failure, every mistake, every sin, every lame brain thing you've done. You say, well, I have done these things. Everybody in here has done dumb stuff. I mean, you just need to be honest. This is in church. Don't let the suits and stuff fool you. People are liars that try to act like they've never missed it. Everybody's missed it. Everybody's sinned and come short of the glory. And I don't say that to celebrate sin. I say that we thank God we have victory over sin. It's not God's will that you sin, but the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, even if you sin, you have an advocate. I said you know what an advocate is? An advocate is somebody that is for you, not against you. Even if you sin, it's not God's will, but an advocate is somebody. He said, even if you sin, you got an advocate. His name is Jesus Christ right now today. Regardless of the situation in your life, he is seated at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for you. You got Jesus Christ pulling for you as a born-again believer. Amen? We're not going under. We're not drowning. We're not going, no way, shape, form, or fashion, are we going to fail. We're not created to fail. Right? All right, so this is, again, by the Holy Ghost. I had another title, same message, but I wouldn't normally use these words, because I believe that faith is a life and faith is a walk. That's what I believe. But throughout the night last night, and I'm right, that's biblical, throughout the night last night, the Lord just kept dealing with me, and I just kept getting this phrase over and over and over again. And I got it all the way till I got here this morning, until I changed the title of my message. But the title is just simply this: Take a Leap of Faith. And I'm not trying to be cute, because most people that know me ministering, I don't endeavor to be cute and try to get catchy phrases and all this kind of stuff. But I asked the Lord about it, and he said, no, use that message, because there are people in this place that where they need to go from where they are, it's not a little step for them. It's a leap. And it's a big step, and it's a stretch. You remember Paul said in Philippians 3:13-14, we use it all the time. He said, forgetting those things which are behind. That means to neglect, to lose out of mind. You don't entertain those things anymore. You say, this is where I come from. That's right, so don't talk about it, because that's where you come from. It's not where you are. If you use it in your testimony, that's fine, but you're not that person anymore. You've been forgiven, washed in the blood, if you ask the Lord Jesus to forgive you. But he said, reaching forth. That word reaching is what he's endeavoring to do in all of our lives, all the time, but specifically this morning, in the Greek part of that word, reaching forth unto those things before, which are before you, is to stretch. He wants to stretch you right? By faith. So we're going to take a leap of faith. Don't you agree with that? Let's do it today. And there are those, I've just got this wrote down, but there are those that have grown frustrated in their walk with God. Doesn't mean that you're mad at God. Doesn't mean that you quit on God. Doesn't mean you don't believe in God. But there are many things in this at this point in life that you may not understand. It's brought discouragement and despair. And again, this is the purpose of this message today, is not only to tell you that faith does work, but to encourage you to step out in faith now and watch God move. This is going to take your cooperation. It's going to take your action. There's a statement that I heard some time back, and it says, nothing changes unless you do. We have to make adjustments. If we've been in control, you know, I have people a lot of times in counseling and ministering to people. A lot of times the people in the worst situations are not the people that you would think are in the worst situations. The people in the worst situations are the ones that think they've got it together. I got this going on. I got everything under control. The best and the easiest people to minister to and get help to are the ones that the world and the church would say is the most messed up. Because they done tried everything and come to the revelation it don't work anyways. And then when they get to the end of their rope, you can get them to the answer. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? You might have been doing it your way, the world, the flesh, the devil's way, whatever you want to say, but we're going on with God. We're going to take a leap of faith, and I'm going to tell you, if you'll trust God, your best days are yet ahead of you. I said your best days are yet ahead of you. You say, do you believe that? Yeah, I believe we just stepped into what God's got for us. I believe firmly. You know, a lot of times I've heard people say about the lost and those that don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, when you get into a spirit of intercession, you can feel lost yourself because God will place that upon you while you're praying to pray it out till you get the victory, so to speak, so the lost can be saved. But I know in church, I remember years back sitting in church myself, you know, everything seemed good like it did this morning, and I, you know, I might have looked a good way and all this kind of stuff, got it together or whatever, maybe not, I really don't know. But the reality of it was, I sat in church where the presence of God was and the word was being ministered, and I was in prison, so to speak. You know, you can be in prison and not be locked behind metal bars. Amen. It can be inside. But I'm here to tell you that this morning I'm not in prison. Either way, I've been set free. Learn to trust in somebody that's greater than you. Amen. That can take you places you could never go alone and by yourself. Go to Mark chapter 5. You on top of it as well. We're right here in the same area. But this woman here, I want to look at the woman with the issue of blood for a few minutes. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. We're going to take a leap of faith. Whatever it is that God's got in your heart, whatever it is He's placed there, you're just going to trust Him and step out and do it, and it's going to work out. God never fails you. He never has and He never will. Right? Mark chapter 5, verse 25 says, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood, 12 years. God will heal your cough or your cold. But that was not the situation here. She had an issue of blood 12 years, had suffered many things of many physicians, had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but what happened? Rather grew worse. So she had tried everywhere, even for help, to find help, to find cure, whatever, but only got worse. And that's always what the devil does. He keeps saying, you know, let's try to work this out, try to do this and do that, and work this angle and work that angle, and all he does is keep you in a bind, right? And on top of this, not only was she sick, she started out with the issue of blood 12 years, but now she's broke on top of being sick. She's sick and broke. Verse 27, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, touched His garment, for she said, if I may but touch His clothes, I shall be whole. Straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Jesus, immediately knowing in Himself that virtue had gone out of Him, turned Him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? His disciples said unto Him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? What's He saying? You're asking who touched you? There's all kinds of people that touched you. There's all kinds of people that bumped into you. But there was one that touched Him by faith. There's one that heard and came and was determined to receive what Jesus had, what Jesus was, and what He still is today. Christ the healer, right? And He said, who touched me? And He looked round about to see her that had done this thing. 33 says, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before Him and told Him all the truth. And this is what His response was in 34. He said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of that plague. Now, we thank God for the gifts of the Spirit. We thank God for the anointing, and we know that was the healing anointing, obviously, that came out of the Lord Jesus Christ, that power and that virtue. But the reality of it is Jesus Christ himself said, it is your faith that made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of that plague. Her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ made her whole and changed her life forever. Your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ can make you whole and change your life forever. I don't use this usually, but the Passion Translation of 34 says this, and I don't know that we got it. I've never used it from the pulpit. I just saw some of it this week. But then Jesus said to her, daughter, because you dared to believe. He said, because you dared to believe, your faith has healed you. Go with peace in your heart and be free from your suffering. Because you dared to believe, your faith has healed you. That's just simple faith in receiving from God all that he's got for you. Do you know good is available to you? Do you know you have an inheritance today as a child of God? A joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark 11:24, the latter part of it we know. Well, the whole thing in 24, but he said, what things ever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive it and you shall have it. If we believe, we receive, and if we doubt, we do without. We must put our faith in God and trust him to do what we could never do in and of ourselves. And one of the greatest obstacles that you'll have in your life is you getting out of the way, or self getting out of the way of God. What does Proverbs 3:9-10 say? We say it and quote it all the time. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. That means don't depend on, don't trust in your own understanding, your own good insight. The Bible even says in the Hebrew, good sense. God will lead you to do some things that doesn't make good sense at the time. It doesn't make good sense, but it doesn't have to make good sense. It just has to be God. Why? Because, see, you got a place you may want to go, and you see this, that, or the other, but the reality of it is God knows the future and every step that you need to take to get there better than you know where you're at today. Better than you know where you came from. Amen? Turn to Luke chapter 5. This is one of the ones the Lord has dealt with me about repeatedly. You say, we've been here recently, we keep going here. Because it's what the Lord has repeatedly dealt with me about, as I said in Luke chapter 5, starting in verse 1, these guys fishing, Peter and the different ones. We'll just look at one through several of them here. But what you have in your heart, as I have said, is going to be bigger than you if it's from God. Because if you could do it on your own, you wouldn't need God. If you could fix your own life, you wouldn't need God. If you save your own self, you wouldn't need the Lord Jesus Christ. He calls you to things bigger than you. Gives you directions that it's going to take, maybe not a baby step, but it'll take a leap of faith. I was telling Laura yesterday, and maybe everybody else has seen it but me, but I was studying, been studying about faith to do the impossible behind Lester Sumrall. And one of the things he was talking about was Noah. When he built the ark. You know, Noah built the ark, and for us to say today, God's going to flood the earth again, we need to get out here and build an ark. With the weather the way it's been, that wouldn't be a big stretch of your faith. If we told you that day, some of y'all might come to this evening with your hammers and your nails. I told a few people, I said, you know, the Lord said he'd never flood the earth again, but he's pushing the promise there. He's pushing it. It's getting close. It's wet. But you know, the Lord saw the earth was wicked, And he told Noah to build an ark. He's going to save him. Eight of them, I believe, and then, of course, the animals and stuff. He's going to save him and his family. You know, Noah was not a sea captain. He wasn't a captain on the sea. I believe he was a farmer. And he's telling him to build this big boat. You know what Noah looked like, and you have to understand, because we get these pictures in our head, and we say, well, Noah's building this big ark. And he's out here side the sea building it. No, he's like building it out in the middle of the field. And he's a farmer, not a captain on the sea. He was the butt of all the jokes for some period of time. He looked like a dummy until it started raining. You know, I've heard that my whole life, and we won't go there, but if you go back to Genesis chapter 2, 5 and 6 there, another thing that Lester Sumrall pointed out that, again, many of you might have already seen, but I never saw it up until that time when Noah's building this ark and God has spoke to him. The earth has never been flooded. And on top of that, it had never rained. It was wetted from a different way and wetted from below. And I'm thinking, you know, It'd be one thing for us to go out here and start building an ark and think God told us, and it's been flooding and it's been raining and there's water everywhere. It's never flooded before, and the earth was never even, he'd never even seen rain when God told him to build the ark, the flood's coming. That's trusting the Lord. But did it work out for him? He might have looked like a dummy in the moment, but I promise you, just a little while in when the rains came, he didn't look like a dummy anymore. He didn't look foolish anymore. Don't worry about how you look anyways. It doesn't matter. Don't endeavor to defend yourself. Let God be your defender. Don't you love people. Love people. But too many people have a fear of people. They're caught up in what everybody thinks. Don't be concerned about what everybody thinks about you and where you are today. Be concerned about what God said about you. You're not what people think. You are who God says you are. Get your words in line with the Word of God today. No matter the state of your life, you're more than a conqueror. The Bible says in Colossians 2:10, you're complete in Him. Amen? Luke chapter 5, along these lines, this is where God really dealt with me about this in my own life and some different things that I've dealt with, bringing me to a place of trust in Him and faith greater than I had ever been before. But in Luke 5, verse 1, it came to pass that as the people pressed upon Him to hear the Word of God, He stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Saw two ships, this is Jesus, obviously, saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, right now, we got Peter and the rest of them here. They've been fishing. What is their occupation? They're fishermen. They know when to fish, and we'll see that in a minute, but they know when to fish. They've done what they know to do. They've done what might have worked for them in the past. They've come up here, and they're washing their nets because they're through. They've been fishing all right. They're through with what they were doing. They were unsuccessful. But then we got Jesus up here, and he wants to use their boats. Well, as I've told you before, and the Lord said that's where a lot of us have been concerned in our faith, that really was not an uncomfortable sacrifice or big sacrifice there, because they were not using their boats. They were done with their boats for the moment. They're cleaning their nets, washing their nets. And again, that was obedience, but it didn't take that much for them to, you know, let Jesus kind of get off from the crowd and use it as a pulpit, so to speak, standing up there at the front of the boat and ministering, teaching the people. But then when Jesus got done, when he left speaking, verse 4, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught or a catch. That's after he's speaking. Simon, Peter answered, said unto him, Master, we, our ability, our strength. You know, I say this by the Holy Ghost, but when are you going to realize you can't do it? When are you going to realize you can't straighten it out? You can't fix it. You can't. And I don't say that to bring you to a place of despair, but to a place of a trust in God that can make every wrong right, as you trust in Him. You say, Pastor, you don't know. Yeah, I, for years, numerous things. I tried to figure, I like to think and analyze and figure and then do it all over and over again, over and over and over and over again. And the sooner you figure it out, the better. But sometimes you can grab your pen, your paper, your thought life, whatever you want to do. Doesn't matter how educated or intellectual you are. The only answer that you come up with is there's not one. Not in your own strength and ability. But how long are you going to try and try and try? I've used this example before, but again, this is by the Holy Ghost for somebody here. And again, I've never been in the Navy. I've never been in the services in that sense. I'm in the Lord's Army, still enlisted. Will be till I die, like you are, right? But per others that I've read some different things, history and then stories, and even and those, a lot of times would travel on the ships, even some of the ministers, that's way back in the day, that wouldn't happen today, but going from one place to the other. And they said that he was learning about surrender to God is what he was talking about, but he said, you know, there's these individuals on this ship that their responsibility is if there's a man overboard, obviously somebody will holler, man overboard, and it's their responsibility to save this individual. It's their responsibility. That's their job. Well, in this one particular situation, there was somebody fell overboard, tripped, whatever happened, and they was working. The man fell overboard. They hollered man overboard, and this minister was over here and was watching. He was just running along for the ride, but he was just watching, and he was trying to figure out what was going on. He said, it didn't make any sense. They hollered man overboard, this man's out here drowning. And he's flailing and beating all around in the ocean and doing all of these things. And this guy that's supposed to save him, and this is his words, not mine, he's standing there like a dummy. He's just standing there. And he's watching this guy. They've hollered man overboard, and everybody's watching him, and he's drowning. He said, but I just stood there and watched. And he said, right when this man had no fight left in him, then the man proceeded to jump and save him. And then afterwards, in talking to him, he said, you have to understand, as long as he still got fighting trying to save himself, if I'd have jumped in, both of us would have drowned. He said, both of us would have drowned. As long as you're trying to save yourself, you can never be saved. As soon as you surrender, so I was talking about ministering to people. It's exactly opposite a lot of times the way people think. A lot of times you can't help people because they think they don't need help yet. But when you get to a place that you're at the end of your rope, you got to let go and grab a hold of God. He'll never fail you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never leave you. It's not just cute church words. It's the truth of God's word. He said, I'll never leave you, never forsake you, right? But Peter here, he said, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing nevertheless. How could we phrase that? Even though it doesn't make any sense, we're going to still do what you said. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, when they did what? What made no sense? What took greater faith, greater sacrifice, what made no sense whatsoever? They've already done what they knew to do. Their occupation was being fishermen, so they provided for their family. But Jesus said, and then Peter said, at thy word. You don't have to have the full picture this morning. You just have to know what God's saying to you right now. What's he saying? That's the leap of faith. That's the step. And as you step there, you take that step. You obey God in that area. Revelation begets revelation. Instruction, that's how it comes. As you obey God here, you keep getting direction. You keep getting. Don't focus on getting out yonder the road in one step. Trust God where you are. He'll meet you there. He'll see you through. Amen? There's people today that's in this place I know that you feel like that you're in an impossible situation. And the Holy Ghost brought me here to tell you you're not in an impossible situation unless you keep trusting in yourself. You put your faith and trust in God. The Bible says all things are possible to him that believeth. God can bring you up, out, and over from wherever you're at today. It might be greater than you. It might even be greater than your family and friends. But listen, if your whole entire family and all of your friends and everybody gave up on you, there's one that has not. I said, there's one that has not. That's a lie. There's one that has not. Even if every decision you made it. You know, there's three ways to get in the pit. You can mess around and slip in, fall in. You can get pushed in. And like a lot of us in life, not proud of it, we just jumped in. You know, just jumped in. But the bottom line is, the Word of God says, if you'll call upon, he said, if you'll call unto me, you'll call upon me, I'll answer you. He said, you have not because you ask not. He said, ask and you shall receive. You call upon, he'll answer. It doesn't matter how you got in the pit, the answer is still the same. And the result of them obeying him. And the Lord dealt with me about this. I'm trying to finish this part here. The Lord dealt with me about this. He said, you pray and seek my face. And then you get direction. But then you try to work it out. You try to fix the wrongs. You try to make this happen, make that happen, go this way and go that way. He said, I want you to stop doing that and fully trust me. We don't want to be like Thomas. What did Thomas say to Jesus after he's resurrected? Or about Jesus before he saw him? I won't believe him. I won't believe he's alive. I won't believe he's resurrected. Unless I can see it, unless I can feel it. And Jesus said, blessed are those that have not seen, but they believe. You just meet him. He'll meet you where you're at and you trust him today. But Peter and these stepped out in verse 6. He said, when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net break. When? No, we want the net to break beforehand. No, we got to trust God. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. So they stepped out and obeyed the words of the Lord Jesus Christ and did something that made no sense whatsoever. And not only were they blessed, and of course their families were blessed because they were blessed, but even their friends here. And as I tell you all the time, if you're sinking, this is how you want to sink. You've obeyed God and overloaded with the blessings of God, right? So that they began to sink, Simon Peter saw it. And he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished at all that were with him, and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which had been taken. That's the result of doing it God's way. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." Verse 11. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. They forsook all and followed him. There's been things said about all that's going on in the church here and the way the Spirit of God's been moving, and it's great and awesome. But the Lord showed me at the beginning of the year, or the end of last year, a little mini vision, whatever you want to call it. But here, this scripture, that's what he told me, launch out into the deep. And he said, you have stepped out into other people even looking. You are in the water. But you know, you can be in the water 3 inches deep, or you can launch out into the deep. He said, I want you to launch out and trust me. Do what you've never done before. Trust me fully. Follow God fully. That's a message. Follow me fully. He said, you stepped out just a little bit at the time. You step out. Why do we step out and stay in the shallow? You step out in 3 inches of water or a foot of water, you trip and fall or miss it, all you do is stand back up. You can depend on yourself, your own ability, your own strength, your own natural wisdom. But when you launch out into the deep, you'd be like Peter one way or the other walking on the water, Matthew 14. You keep your eyes on Jesus, you'll walk on the water. But you can't depend on your own strength, your own wisdom, your own ability, because you'll drown. But he's called us to launch out into the deep, and that's what we've done. He's calling some of you today. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm not saying you're not filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm not saying that you're not living for God. Even if you're not, he'll forgive you. But it's time to step up and step out in a way that we never have before and take God at his word. When all you have is God's word, you have all you need. You don't need anything else. At thy word, we'll do what you said. And did it help them? Did it bless them? Did God see them through? Go to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. This is different than I thought, but it's going to encourage you in your faith. You say, well, I'm doing great. That's good. Take it and use it to help somebody else. Amen? And you might need it tomorrow. Matthew 9. Verse 27, many would say, well, I just don't have any faith. You have to have faith that you're not a Christian. And the Bible says in the latter part of Romans chapter 12, verse 3, that he's dealt to every man the measure of faith. So you do have a measure of faith. That's incorrect. You do have a measure of faith. Hold your place there and go to Luke 17 real quick, talking about faith. What's the foundation of faith? God's word. What's God said? According as it is written, I believe and there have I spoken. 2 Corinthians 4:13. We're at Luke chapter 17. This is the disciples here with Jesus. And he said in verse 5 and 6, the apostles said, Luke 17, 5, the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. What did they want? What are they asking for? More faith. And many would say, that's what everybody wants. Well, let's see how Jesus responded to that. Maybe you'd sit here this morning and say, I don't have any faith to move forward. Well, Jesus would respond to you and me the same way he responded to these disciples. They said, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. So he said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say. They said, give us more faith. Increase our faith. And he said, if you have faith as a seed, we could say, rightfully so, you might say. What's he saying? You got faith, and the way you get more faith is just be faithful to what you got. Step out with the faith you got now because you do have faith. Your measure compared to somebody else, number one, is irrelevant. You can't live my life for me no more than I can live my life for you, your life for you, right? But you can take what you've got. Even this morning, you're receiving faith. We're imparting faith unto you because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So where you might have come in and have no hope, just from the scriptures I've told, shown you by the Spirit of God, you should say, oh, it is possible. God said it's possible. There is a way. God says there's a way. You might not see it today. It might like be like you step out there and everything's a fog. It doesn't matter if you don't see it. We walk by faith and not by sight. We have God's word. God is able. Amen? God is able. He'll see you through. He'll see me through. Go back to Matthew 9. Look at these two blind men. Just a few scriptures here. Matthew 9, 27 says this. Matthew 9, 27 says, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. When he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, believe ye that I'm able to do this? Do you believe I'm able to do it? What did he say earlier? All things are possible to who? Them that believe. You know, we're seeing things in the church, but we were saying things before we saw things. He said, you'll have what you say. If you say I'm a failure, if you say there's no way out, if you say I'm going under, if you say there's no hope, you become more hopeless. I stand in this church when nobody's here, and I thank God that you're mighty men and women of God. You say, I don't feel that way. Well, I'm not that way. It's not relevant. We don't call it like we see it. The Bible says in Romans 4:17, talking about Father Abraham's faith, we call those things that be not as though they were. Why? Because they are in the seed form, in the Word of God. The Word has within it the life, the ability, everything necessary to bring to pass what it promises. So no matter what we're facing, we say, thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We say, I thank you, Father, concerning the church. This works in every area of life, not just the church. It's thriving, flourishing, and growing. As I said, ministering to mighty men and women of God. Men, women, children, and youth hungry and on fire and full of God. Revival's breaking out among us. The word flows freely. Those that are bound and in bondage and all sorts of things, we thank you, Father, by the word and the anointing of the Holy Ghost, they're set free. We've seen it happen. Amen. Lost, saved, people filled with the Holy Spirit, never been before. Power of God taken over in the church. We've seen it happen. But you got to say it before you see it. He told us in the latter part of Mark 11, 23, you'll have what you say. You got to stop saying, I'm a failure. You got to stop saying, I've messed up. You messed up. Ask God to forgive you. Don't talk about it no more. Quit talking about it. Begin to say what God says in His Word, and it'll be so. Amen? You remember, you're siding in with one or the other all the time, God or the devil. You're siding in with God when you speak words in line with His words to help Him bring His will and plan and purpose to pass in your life. But if you call things as though they are now, talk negative, talk down, doubt and defeat, you side in with the devil. Let me read this because I've got to read another scripture to you. When he was come into the house, the blind men came and they said, believe you, he said, believe you that I'm able to do this. They said unto him, yes, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to what? According to your faith, be it unto you. According to your faith, be it unto you. Now we know in Hebrews 11, verse 1, faith is a substance or gives substance to things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Do we got that, what I had y'all to put up there, the three main elements of faith out of Hebrews 11, verse 1? People say, where does faith start? Where does it start? It starts, and the will of God is? Yeah. The first main element of faith is a firm conviction producing a full acknowledgement of God's revelation of truth. What would that be? God's Word. God's Word. It starts with what God has said, according as it is written. God has said some things to you today. Go to Proverbs chapter 18. Now, what are you going to say? What are you going to do? Proverbs 18, we know this passage. Hadn't thought about it this morning, but the Lord said, go here. 18, verse 20. And 21, Proverbs 18, verse 21, 20 and 21, says this, a man's belly shall be satisfied with what? The fruit of his mouth. Your words produce fruit. What kind of fruit do they produce? It's according to what kind of words you speak. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. With the increase of his lips shall he be filled. 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Both death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. If we have it, put up 21 in the Message Bible. Matthew, Proverbs 18, 21, the Message Bible. It says this. Now, I would ask you before you came, you know, what were you speaking? What are you saying? Are your words in line with God's word? And when you leave, what do you need to be saying? You need to at least have an inkling. There is a way. There is a hope. You say, I don't have the whole big picture. It's not about it, you having the picture. That's you endeavoring to see things. Get your eyes, the Bible says in, what is it, Hebrews 12, 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Let him begin a work in you. The work he's begun in you, he's well able to bring to fruition and completion. He said, words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. What's the last part say? You choose. Stop saying you're a failure. Stop saying you're messed up. Stop it. I say this by the Holy Ghost to you. I don't know all of your situation, but I'm speaking the truth from God's word. Stop saying that. You see, even ministers that I know, but even Christians with the economy and all that's going on, they're saying, wow, my God, I just don't know what we're going to do. I don't know what we're going to do. We just don't know what to do. You know what? They don't never know what to do. That's not how you get wisdom. That's not how you get direction. He said in James 1, 5, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask for him of God that giveth all men liberally, and what would he do? He'd give it to him. So what I say, no matter how I feel today, no matter what I know today, Father, I thank you I got the wisdom of God. I know what to do, when to do, and how to do. Don't care what it looks like or seems like. People say all these things are in the economy. We're not subject to the world's economy. You remember, we live in this world, but we're not of this world. The Bible calls you otherworldly. You're pilgrims and strangers passing through. We live by a different code, different standard. We're members of the kingdom of God and the body of Christ. What has God said? What is he saying this morning? The Lord's continually impressing in my spirit not to go further, because this morning it's not about deep. It's not about being deep. It's about meeting you where you're at. Right where you are. It's the simple faith. You remember in Mark 5, the woman with the issue of blood. She heard. What happened when she heard? Faith comes. Faith. Romans 10, 17 says faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. She's suffered many things and many physicians. Got this issue of blood for 12 years. She's in a situation that anybody, including herself, would say there's no hope, but she heard something. She heard about somebody named Jesus. You know, you might already knew who Jesus was before you got here, but this morning I pray you've been encouraged and you've heard. You know, you've heard there is hope. And faith gives substance to things hoped for, so you can have more than hope. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. God dealt with me. I've been quoting some scripture. I'm going to close with this one. I'm going to pray for you if you let me. But Acts chapter 27, I've been quoting this for, I can't even, there's no many telling how many thousands of times that I've meditated and quoted these scriptures. Some of these ones that come out from the pulpit up here. You say, why do they keep coming out repeatedly? Because it's what's inside. That's the way you operate too. What's going to come out is what's inside. Amen. But Paul and those are in the storm. In Acts 27, verse 20, they're in the storm. And the latter part of verse 20 says, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. What does that mean? It means all hope that they could be saved was taken away. It means exactly what it says, right? No interpretation needed. But after long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and have gained this harm and loss, and I exhort you. This is in the middle of the storm. Paul said, I exhort you to be of good cheer in the middle of the storm. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. 23 says, there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. This is, again, in the middle of the storm. 25, Paul said, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. In the middle of the storm, Paul's telling them, get glad. Get happy. In the storm, when all hope, you know, the Lord dealt with, I'm not preaching it, obviously, this morning, but you know, John 15, 1 through 7, we are the branches and he's the vine. and we abide in the vine, we produce the fruit of the Spirit, which is Galatians 5, 22 and 3, and one of them is joy. And the Lord dealt me some time back, and he said, you know, well, let's read this. Sirs, be of good cheer. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. I believe God. What does faith say? God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. He really said three things here. He said, I belong to God, I serve God, and I believe God. But he said in verse 25, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. Faith in God produces joy. Now, we've all been there. I'm not saying anything about anybody. But if we're in fear, if we're anxious, if we're worried, many Christians call it overly concerned to try to sound spiritual, but it's still worry. Loss of joy. I say this towards me as much as anybody else because the Lord's shown me this. He said, if you are, I wouldn't say dealing with those things, but if you are, you know, they've kind of overtaking you, he said, you're not in faith. He that believes is entered into God's rest. Faith in God produces joy in the storm. Now, I don't say that to hurt you by any means. I say that to help you. Because what you want to go to doing if you're there is the same thing that I've been doing repeatedly and have arrived at faith. You say, how do you know if you're in faith or not? You have to ask nobody. Zero. You have to ask nobody. Because when you move from doubt, unbelief, worry, and fear to faith in God, the things you're worried about, you're no longer concerned about whatsoever because you know God's got you. Whatever it was, how big it was, doesn't matter. God's bigger than the mountain, bigger than the valley, greater than the storm. It doesn't matter. There's a joy to faith. Somebody come play something for me. He said over here in Matthew 9, we read it earlier. I didn't preach my message, but we preached God, so it really doesn't matter. He said in Matthew 9, 29, he taught those blind men, and he said, according to your faith, be it unto you. According to your faith, be it unto you. How do you receive? According to your faith. Well, I pray this morning that you have been, at least in a measure, stirred. And maybe you came in hopeless. Maybe you were the one that came in discouraged and in a place of despair. God is good. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Stand to your feet. We just praise you and we glorify you. We magnify you for you're so good and your mercy endures forever. You say, what are you doing? I just saw you in the Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus, and praise your holy and mighty name. We glorify you and we just want to obey you. We just trust you, Father. Now we thank you, Father, as we do every service for your word. We thank you for your word. We shall know the truth, and the truth shall set us free. And I had much more to say, but I think that you said, believe that you said all you wanted to. All things are possible to him that believeth. You said, I am the Lord God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? I know there's people that's come in here today that without question, they've been in a place of despair. Without question, their next steps are really up in the air. They don't know. They don't know. They don't know because they've taken many steps even to get to where they are. And yes, the Lord would say at this point, you don't trust your own decision-making process, which is good because you can trust His and He'll see you through. Remember, He can right every wrong. Thank you, Lord Jesus, and praise your holy and mighty name. Now, this is kind of twofold, but it's one altar call. So everybody can come at the same time, whether it's one or all of you. It's not relevant to me, but you need to respond. There are those that's been in a place of despair and discouragement, as I just said. But today you're ready to turn it over to God. Today you're ready to say, Satan, under my feet do you trod. My faith and my focus is now in God Almighty. I'm going to trust in the Lord, and He shall bring this to pass. And I'm coming up, out, and over at last. Now, you would say, yes, I want you to pray with me. What me and Miss Raleigh are going to do this morning, and if the gifts are in operation, it doesn't matter to me. I'll say what the Lord says. But we want to set our faith with yours. Now, there's that's one part of two of the same altar call. There's others in here that you might would say you're not in a bad place, but this title gets you because it's where you're at. He's placed something in your heart that's not a baby step. It's not a little hop. It's a leap. It's bigger than you. You know that it's God. He's dealt with you not for even days, some months, and some even a few years. And you're ready to totally surrender, submit, and you're ready to come on and draw near. You're ready to walk in God's best. You're one that it would be said without question, this is a leap. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know how God's going to bring it to pass, but I put my faith and trust in Him. This is what I want to do if that's you. If you're a couple, come together. Individual, come individually, obviously. But I want me and Miss Laura Lee to set our faith with you today. So if you're at that place and you say, yes, I've heard, my faith has been built up, I'm ready to step out by faith in the name of Jesus, I want you and Miss Laura Lee to set your faith with us. Come on down now, we want to pray for you at the altar. And there's several of you, there's not one, so you need to come down. And remember, don't procrastinate spiritual things. We're going to do nothing but lay hands on you and pray for you, and God's going to speak by His Spirit, we're going to minister to you. Nobody's going to hurt you, we're for you. God's for you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Everybody else, let's just praise God. We glorify you. We magnify you and we honor you. We glorify you and we magnify you and we honor you this day. Now, Father, we've done these things. I can see Elijah in the prophets of Baal. I see him and I hear at the end of that message there.